Jeremiah chapter 1, like the term is, while I begin the message.
What was that again, sir?
Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah is commonly called the weeping prophet. He is characterized as a prophet of tears because of his writing the book of Lamentations. Jeremiah wrote this book, a prophetic book, and chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Jeremiah said that he could not cry enough. He could not weep enough to express his emotions and his burden for the people of Israel. Jeremiah experienced an emotion that many people experience. And if we can learn from the prophet how to live with this emotion, we will be wiser and better for it. You see, Jeremiah was, as I spoke earlier, a victim of frustration. Have you ever been frustrated?
No.
Of course you have. Some say that Jeremiah apparently was a shy and timid, sensitive individual. Now that would be by those who have studied Jeremiah quite deeply to come to that conclusion. Not everybody who has studied Jeremiah would necessarily describe him that way. But when you realize how he was known as a prophet of weeping and what led him to that weeping, I can understand why there are those who say he was shy and timid. There was also a lack of results in his ministry. Because of the condition of the people, it contributed to this melancholy of his. Why won't they listen? Why won't they heed the message that God is giving them? Jeremiah felt defeated and prevented from achieving his life's purpose. He felt his efforts were in vain and ineffective. His life was a failure, or so he thought. Such a feeling is not uncommon. Many people carry a great sense of failure because of not achieving what they consider to be success or what they expected to achieve. You see, we need to get our expectations from God. Because when we get them from what we think ought to be, many times what we expect is not what God knows. The result of his feelings was frustration, which produced discouragement and regret. And it did lead him to a sense of defeat. Perhaps we've had our own days of lamenting. Hence, he had them and wrote the book of Lamentations. And though when we lament, we may not write a book about it, we nevertheless live with the feeling of it. Perhaps we wish at times to give up. Therefore, we can relate to Jeremiah. And I invite you to meet yourself in the Bible as we consider Jeremiah the prophet. There was more than one time through the years of ministry that I would say to Pat, as a matter of fact, sometimes quite frequently, I would say to her, "I'm going to run away. Want to go with me?" And I never met anything to the extent of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a long public career, 50 years long. He was under extreme difficulties and circumstances. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, we read that he was chosen by God. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, do you notice nations, plural? I circled that S there. The same way as in verse 10, it again says nations and it says kingdoms. And again, for my purposes, I circled the S's. So it was not just to Israel, though that was his primary purpose, to speak to Israel, but he included God's message to the other nations, those that were involved with Israel, to be sure. Now, it's interesting that in John chapter 15 and verse 16, we read these words. Now, remember, he was chosen. God knew him. God called him. Now, verse 16 of John 15, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. God chose Jeremiah, and God chose you. And Christians are chosen for God's purposes. And none of them are insignificant. You may think to yourself, well, I'm not a prophet to nations. I just work in a nursery. I just teach first graders. That's not insignificant. That's very meaningful. Perhaps there's a mother who says, well, I don't do any of that. All I do is take home and take care of my kids and do dishes and clean and make meals. Yes, that's God's calling.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Don't you ever count as insignificant the calling of motherhood and wifehood. Yeah. They're both very meaningful. Jeremiah's reaction to this calling is in verse 6. Then said I, this is Jeremiah saying, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He was not speaking as a child, meaning that he was only 11 years old or thereabouts. Sometimes when the Bible speaks of children, it can be as old as 30. As a matter of fact, Mrs. Hain and I say that we have four kids. Well, the youngest kid is 50. So the term child here is used in a very broad sense. Lord, I can't speak. I am a child. He was thinking of his inabilities and his own fears. And this reaction stemmed from his natural shyness, but also from a sense of humility. And any proper person will hesitate at a great calling and position, sensing their unworthiness and unfitness for it. And this is good. Humility is good. But let me warn you, false humility will be a hindrance, and false humility is really a backdoor to pride.
That's right. Yeah.
It's good.
Remember, it was God who called Jeremiah. And if God's given you a leading into some area of ministry, you're distinct and you know about it, that is God's leading. And who are we to say like Jeremiah, oh, no, God, no. What are we saying? Oh, God, you're not so smart. Oh, God, you don't really know. We're saying, I know more than you, God. Oh, well, no, that's not what I mean. Well, what is it that we mean then when we say no to God? What is it that we mean when God says this and we say that?
Yes, sir.
We're setting ourselves up as greater than the Great One. It is one thing to properly appreciate one's limitations, but it is quite another to allow these limitations to determine the limit of our usefulness. God's answer to Jeremiah was given in verse 7 through 9. Now Jeremiah said, "Oh no, Lord, I cannot speak. But the Lord said unto me, Say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." When God calls, God sanctifies. When God calls, God anoints. And what when God has a calling on a person, it is not, you've heard this before, it's not dependent upon their abilities, but their availability. Why is it that we read in the New Testament, in one of Paul's letters, where God chose the foolish things of this world? We know here, it's because God wants to work in such a way so that he gets the honor. Were he to choose some big, you know, highfalutin, fancy sounding individual,
yes, sir,
then people would look and say, of course. But when he takes just an average, ordinary person, and he puts his spirit in them and on them, and he works through them, and then people know this has got to be of God. Do you remember that story I've told about a famous orator who would go into communities and he would read various famous readings and people would be astounded? And then he would always ask what the audience wanted him to read, and in the one hall he was asked to do the 23rd Psalm. I remember now the rest of the story. It was a retired old pastor who asked him to do the 23rd Psalm. And he said to that retired old pastor, "I'll do it if you'll do it when I'm done." And the pastor, of course, had to accept the challenge. So he did. And the orator stood with his great eloquence and expounded the 23rd Psalm. And when he was done, the people just applauded. And then the old pastor stood up, feeble in body, and he began to give the 23rd Psalm. And by the time he was done, there wasn't a dry eye in the hall. Everyone was touched. And somebody raised their hand and asked the orator, "What happened here? What have we just observed?" And the orator was wise enough to say, "I know the psalm. He knows the shepherd."
Yes, thank you.
You see, it's what God does, not what man can do. Say not, don't oppose the Lord's wisdom. Right humility is good, for it strips away our pride. But a hesitant attitude that ceases to do what God says is not humility, it is pride in reverse. Verse 7, "Whatsoever I command thee." His call involves his commands. His leading involves his directions. And so for 50 years, this shy and retiring prophet carried on strenuous and dangerous public ministries. Israel was besieged, captured, and enslaved. Dissension and disorder in their own ranks, disturbing social problems, extremes of rich and poor, discontent, hatred and envy filled people's hearts, idolatry and apostasy abounded. Doesn't really sound unfamiliar, does it? We haven't really made much progress, have we? No, indeed not, because the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And it hasn't changed any from the day of Jeremiah to the day in which we're living. All of these conditions brought despair to Jeremiah's heart, just as it brings despair to the faithful pastors and preachers' hearts of today when they faithfully labor and pray and preach. And it seems like people just go on living the same way. The fruit seems so small, so sparse. But the prophet did not let his own sensitive feelings keep him from serving God. In addition to the condition of the people of our day, another condition that's more disheartening is when men who were once faithful to the word of God and faithful to their calling, but because of what they don't see happening, because of what they perceive as failure, they quit. They leave the ministry. They take up a job as a salesman. A lot of pastors do that. You know, they're pretty good at talking. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a salesman, but when you've been called to be a pastor,
yeah, come on.
Why step down and be a salesman?
Yeah.
Listen, the pastor's job is to preach the word and to teach the word. It's God's job to reap the harvest.
Yes.
When your heart's in it, you want to see. You want to see the people you love. You want to see the people you're burdened for. You want to see them responding. You want to see them following God. And when you don't, the pastor is but a man. And he's subject to the same feelings as everyone is. And it can become quite discouraging. That's why it is our job. It is our task to pray for our pastor.
Yes,
to ask God to uphold him, to support him, to strengthen him, to keep him from those attacks of discouragement. That's our job. We have some others, of course, but that's a big one.
Yes, sir, it is.
That's a big one. In return for his faithful warnings, Jeremiah received what? Threatenings, persecutions, ridicule, scorn. Now, as a pastor, I never experienced to any of the degrees that Jeremiah did those things. But there was a reasons why every now and again I'd say to Pat, I'm going to run away. You want to go with me? I never was serious about it. What was I doing? I was just merely expressing frustration. Once it was expressed, I'd go over to the office. I'd pray. Then I'd just get busy working. Just doing what had to be done. I realize now as I'm saying that I worked my way out of a lot of discouragement.
Amen.
But if I'd sit and think about it, I'd wallow in it. And you know what? No one really pitied me for it. If I'd have called up church members and expressed it to them, they'd say, well, you're supposed to be our strength. Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, let's hang up. And if I tried to lay in it too much, it was a 5'2" brunette with brown eyes who would come and she would look at me. And sometimes she would just be sympathetic, but then give some encouragement. And then there were other times she'd look at me, and I don't know just what she said, but it amounted to, get hold of yourself and get with it. Deal with it. You know, she knows me better than anyone. So she knew what sort of thing it was that I wanted. Oh, and I can hear it, yeah. And I still hear it sometimes. It's the way she says my name. Roger, can I say something? Oh. Not long ago, she said that, and I said, no, you can't say it. I don't want to hear it. Yeah. You know, Jeremiah was once stoned outside of his hometown. Once he was beaten in public disgrace. One time he was imprisoned, and another time he was thrown in slime pits. The Apostle Paul was not the only one who endured the things that he did. He was in good company, and Paul knew it. All of this for what? For trying to help people do the right thing. And I remember an old preacher who said to me one time when I was having a bit of opposition to something that was going on. And listen, I learned that I needed to listen sometimes to the complaints that people had. Okay, and now I said sometimes. You get some cantankerous, old, backslidden, fence-sitting individual, and they want to come and complain. That's different than a faithful believer who comes and says, Pastor, can I talk with you? And this is somebody who's faithful and supportive. And when he talked, he was trying to say something that from his heart, he felt I needed to hear. Yeah. I didn't like to hear it. And I thank him. I thank him. Did you always feel thankful? Nope.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's always right to do right. Never right to do wrong. You say, well, isn't that lying? No, that's just being what I ought to be. Thankful. So I thank him. And I go home and I think about it. And I try to think every which way to get around it, that he was wrong. And you know what? Finally, God would speak to me. And I didn't hear voices or anything, but I realized I needed to consider what that guy said. Why, there was one time I even needed to consider what a woman said. Oh, now there is a sexist statement for sure. Not intended for that. Well, I think we'll just move on here because we're already beyond time. I'm going to look at three things next week. Three things that Jeremiah used to conquer frustration and remain true to his call. He didn't quit. He remained steadfast, and because of it, he conquered his frustration. I don't know, you know, did he ever conquer in the sense of it going away? Or was it something that he just frequently lived with. Well, you can read Jeremiah and come to your own conclusion on that. Father in heaven, as we go to prayer now, we do so desiring that your spirit would be with us.